emotion in human beings was a fatal flaw. The same characteristic that fueled their need to form strong bonds and believe that all life was sacred made them compassionate to a fault. Only weeks earlier, on Sojourn, he realized that even Sidious, for all his growing strength in the dark side, remained a prisoner of his emotions. That Sidious was feeling an urge to stretch out with his new powers was to be expected and encouraged, but he had to be taught the lesson every Sith needed to learn. With great subtlety, Sidious had manipulated Vidar Kim into a position where he had become a liability and therefore had to die. He hadn't bothered to address the issue directly, because the time had come for Sidious to embark on the political career that would carry him to the chancellorship. Still, Sidious's reaction to the assassination orders, fleeting as it had been, had convinced Plagueis of the need for additional tests. Sidious didn't need to have his mistakes explained to him. He needed to experience the consequences.
"Perhaps, Magister," Lacnor was saying, "if we understood your plans for the Yenchuri clones,
I would expect them to serve as soldiers."
"Ah," Ni'Timor said, "then obedience, not mere compliance, must be a prime consideration." "And yet the need for some measure of free will," Kosai was quick to point out. "Or else why not simply use combat automata?"
Lacnor's large eyes fixed on Damask.
"These Yenchuri appear to be ready-made for war, Magister. Are there so few of them in the galaxy that you need to clone an army?"
He had deliberately avoided mentioning Yenchuri immunity to force suggestion because he should have no way of knowing about that, or indeed anything about the actions of midichlorians. But it was precisely the reptilian's capability to fashion force bubbles that he hoped to explore.
"As you've already pointed out," he said after a moment, "their innate bellicosity interferes with their ability to follow orders."
Mostly to himself, Ni'Timor said,
"We would need to assure that their violent tendencies remained intact while their behavior was less willful."
"Yes," Damask said.
Kosai craned her long neck.
"Very challenging, though perhaps if we could be supplied with a template for experimentation."
She gestured toward the 3D images.
"Is this specimen available for thorough evaluation?"
"I could have him delivered to Kamino," Damask said. "Assuming for the moment that you can discover some way to provide me with what I need, how much time would be required to grow a mature clone?"
The three scientists traded looks.
"In the case of the Yenchuri,"
Ni'Timor said at last,
"certainly no fewer than 12 standard years to allow for both physical and mental development. As you know, we have had some success in accelerating the growth rate of certain cloned creatures, but not yet with full sentience, owing to the plasticity of the youthful brain."
"More important," Lacnor said, "while we might be able to grow a few clones, our facilities are at present inadequate to produce an army of any size."
"We would also need to consult with military specialists regarding programming," Kosai added.
"That can all be arranged," Damask said. "Would you have any objections to working with Rotana Heavy Engineering?"
"Of course not,"
Ni'Timor said.
"Then Damask Holdings can provide whatever funding you need."
Kosai's eyes appeared to widen.
"The Prime Minister will be very pleased to learn of this,"
she said with what passed for animation on Kamino.